You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning. We are here already after a short week because of the New Year's holiday, and we've got Wild Card Weekend getting started tomorrow late afternoon with the Colts and Texans. Not too much brewing on the local football front as far as the Jets and Giants and what they're going to do. Not a lot of news yesterday, but a lot of momentum heading into Wild Card Weekend and what should be a really, really fun and competitive Wild Card Weekend. Some baseball musings this morning, Boomer, as well. We will get to at some point, but I know you're fired up because you've got a college roommate. I don't know if people know this, but you've got a college roommate, former college roommate, coaching on Wild Card Weekend. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, that's right, Gio. Frank's going to take his team down into Houston tomorrow, and it's basically version three of the Texans and the Colts, so that'll be interesting tomorrow. You know, to get back to like what you were talking about locally here, football-wise, not a lot going on. You know, it's not surprising that today, I think in one of these papers, I think it's in the Post, there's a question, is this as good as it gets for the Jets and their head coaching search? We were talking about this probably 6 weeks ago about how there's going to be a dearth of candidates. There aren't going to be a lot of attractive big name candidates out there that you feel really good about bringing in. And that's why you have to do your due diligence if you are the Jets. You got to talk to people. You got to talk to Kingsbury. You got to talk to Gase. You got to talk to McCarthy if you can. You got to talk to all of them. And you got to see if you can find the right guy that you think is going to be the guy that's going to, you know, unlock Sam Darnold and basically control the building from a legitimately professional football, personality type. So when I hear about Cliff Kingsbury being interviewed, I think it's fine to do that. The question that I would have is, could Cliff Kingsbury ever put together a staff, and what would his staff look like? That's another part of what goes on here. And I still think the eyes of the Jets are south on Baltimore, because I'm telling you, there's just nothing that is going on there in terms of contract negotiations that I know of as we sit here this morning, this Friday. Now, could we come to work or could I go to work on Sunday and find out that John Harbaugh signed an extension on Saturday? I guess that's always a possibility. But until that happens, that is still out there and that's still in the mix.
Well, I think the Jets are desperately rooting for the Chargers this weekend, because once that season ends, that process should speed up at that point.
But only the Jets looking for John Harbaugh. That would be the Miami Dolphins would be looking for him. There'd be a lot of different...
But the whole thing gets started then. I mean, if he's still coaching, there's no way. I mean, John Harbaugh is a professional coach. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. He's a leader. He's not going to let that stuff leak during...
So is Mike McCarthy,
right,
by the way.
But he doesn't have a job, right? That's the difference, is Mike McCarthy doesn't have a job. He's been fired weeks ago. He's doing interviews. He's going to have a choice probably of where he wants to go, I would imagine. John Harbaugh, if he's still coaching, you're not going to get a sniff at him, especially if he's under contract. This is not a coordinator who's sitting around who can interview for a head coaching job. This guy is a head coach in a place where maybe he might get a contract extension. That's going to be a tough one to sit around and wait for. So it's up to the Browns, to me, to start the domino effect with the coaches, because all anybody talks about is how this Browns job is the job. I mean, so the report yesterday, Josh McDaniels is enthusiastic about having an opportunity to coach the Browns. Bruce Arians, who I know probably won't get a job, but he said a couple months ago the only job that he would ever come back for would be the Cleveland Browns.
It's not happening.
Mike McCarthy. But the point that I'm trying to make is that everybody's into the Browns. So if the Browns are getting the pick of the litter and you think that the Jet job, as I do, is number two on that list, then that's when everything starts. And you know what? If Josh McDaniels wants to go to Cleveland, you know he's not going to the Jets. And you're someone who's a Jet fan that wants Mike McCarthy, that would be a great sign for you if McDaniels ended up going to Cleveland. Because then McCarthy, if he wants to coach, it would be silly for him to go elsewhere other than the Jets. So there's so many things that could happen with this musical chair stuff, but I think the Cleveland Browns are a real key to how the rest of it's going to shake out.
Well, the other thing, too, is that Heimendinger and Maccagnan and Johnson are going to have to impress upon whoever they're interviewing what basically the good aspects of this job are and how the coach will have a direct line to the owner. So that's another attractive aspect of this. So if things aren't working out well with the personnel side, the owner can always listen to the coach and then get the GM fired. So you can always work on that too. So that's the part of it that I'm not really big on. But the Johnson family owns the team and they can run the team any way they want. But this will be this a little bit of a sales job too here. That's Maccagnan's got to sell. He's got to be able to say, look, I can work with anybody in this building. This is going to be your building. We can work together and collaborate on building our 53-man roster. I know what we feel like we need here. And now you have to come in and you have to look at all the tape. You have to examine everything that's going on and find out, are there players that you're not interested in? The reason I would like, to me, McCarthy and or Harbaugh is because they're in the league. They have been around. And they're not removed like a year or two from coming off of the field. You know what I mean? So those guys they get the whole thing. They get the salary cap deal. They get the free agent signing deal. They understand the draft. They understand how to run teams on the sideline, how to run practices, how to run meetings, when to give the players off, when to back off a little bit. All of those things that come with the experience that they have is what I believe the Jets need. So hopefully it'll be one of those two guys. But if it's not one of those two guys, then the question is, who is it? And that's when you start getting into the weeds of, all right, is this going to be an outside-of-the-box pick like a Cliff Kingsbury, which I don't think it will be.
Well, there's no way. I mean, if someone wants to hire him as a coordinator, that's great.
You had lunch with Christopher Johnson.
Well, we both did, yes.
Yeah, I know, we both did. But I'm just saying, you really talked to Christopher a lot more than I did.
Yes, I did.
You guys happened to be at that end of the table. But
yes.
I'm just saying, do you think that he is a guy that is willing to take a huge risk and think outside of the box and bring a guy in like something like a Kingsbury or a Zach Taylor from the Rams or somebody along those lines, a Chris Richard from the Cowboys? Do you think that he would go back down a coordinator role or a play caller role or like a quarterback coach role?
Well, I think just from judging on this interaction I had with him, I don't think that he is going to set out to take a risk on a guy, but I do think that he is someone that really likes to listen and can be convinced by someone that even if they don't have the experience that he could be the right guy. I think that if he meshes personality-wise with somebody, that experience factor, as much as he may want it, might not be at the top of the list as much. So I do think that he could be influenced. However, I have a pretty good idea that he's going to set out at least to try to get an experienced head coach. And if he ends up in a situation where John Harbaugh signs an extension and Mike McCarthy goes to the Browns,
now what?
That's, right.
That's exactly
you
got
to
right.
pick now the what? Best of the rest. And that best of the rest is probably going to include more people with no experience than with experience.
I think we'll include Adam Gase. I really do. I think they'll have a good meeting with him. I think Adam is a guy who's been through 3 years now as a head coach. He'll come in, he'll have a plan, he'll have an understanding of who the Jets are from an opposing coach's standpoint. He'll also still comes in with the reputation of, being a play caller, a play designer, and somebody that can work with quarterbacks. Now, whether or not that's going to, satisfy the crazy Jet fan out there, I have no idea.
Well, I don't think it will. I mean, I think that they saw him with the Dolphins team.
They had so many problems. They went, first of all, they made the playoffs, and Matt Moore started a playoff game at the freaking Steelers.
Right.
So I would tell you right there that is a winning coach to me. But now I also understand that they jettisoned a whole bunch of players off of last year's team. And they got rid of some guys and some personalities and all of that stuff. And then there was some negative stuff that was written about him from some players. It was supposedly a burner account down there from, via Twitter from one of the players on the team. And there's a lot of that nonsense going on. But
isn't that the last thing you want if you're the Jets, though?
I always think like Miami, to me, I put Miami as the fifth best job on the list of eight jobs. And the only reason I put them there fifth is the three behind them are just so bad anyway that they have to be better than the Bucs, the Cardinals, and the Bengals.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to figure, all right, here's a weird situation down in Miami. You got an impetuous, impatient owner. You have a guy that's probably surrounded by a lot of people in his ear. You know, he's a developer. He's got properties all over the world and all over the country, and he's building and he's doing all this other stuff. Plus, he's got his football team as his hobby, right? So that's what you're dealing with down there. Plus, you're dealing with South Beach, Miami, the nightlife, and I'm not saying that the nightlife here isn't a distraction, because it certainly is. But down there, it seems like it's every day. You're outside, you're doing whatever you want to do, and you're hanging in that environment. So that's a really hard place, I believe, to win football games.
You know, you're talking about how Eric Bieniemy is a guy that would be perfect for maybe in Arizona, Cincinnati. That would be the perfect landing spot for him. Mm-hmm. When I think of Adam Gase, I think of a guy who's going to get another opportunity, probably deserves another opportunity, and I think will succeed in that second opportunity. I don't think that a place like New York for Adam Gase, who is a guy who seemed extraordinarily ornery towards the end of the year.
It doesn't feel like a fit. I know what you mean.
I mean, exactly, especially with the Jets. I mean, how many times we talked about, locker room stuff and issues that they've had and discipline, and you got players who can't stand this guy and the owner has a problem with him.
Right.
This is not the place for Adam Gase, and it's not the place for the Jets to bring in a guy that's got that so freshly on his resume. I mean, I would stay away from that.
And I understand exactly what you're saying, because this is how he felt exactly about this, how I felt anyway last year about Gettleman and Shurmur coming to the Giants. It was so obvious.
Right.
It was so obvious that the moment that, Gettleman was let go by Carolina and he was just hanging out there, once John Mara decided to get rid of Jerry Reese, Gettleman was the natural next fit because he had been here. He understands how the Maras and the Tishes do business. He understands the internal organizational distractions, if you will. He understands New York, even though he's from Boston, but he understands everything.
Yeah.
And he was also loyal to Eli because of the two Super Bowls that he had been a part of, or at least one of them, I think. So when I saw Pat Shurmur, I'm saying, that's a guy that goes plays golf at Wingfoot. That's perfect. He fits the Giants kind of moniker. You kind of can see why they would hire Pat Shurmur. So now the question is, who do you see, or who do we see the Jets hiring?
Well, it has to be someone that the Jets don't normally hire. I mean, that's the point.
Exactly,
because,
yes.
The history with the Giants is a hell of a lot different than the history with the Jets, and it has to be someone with experience and I think with an emphasis on the offensive side of the ball, which is the two things that the Jets have not had in their head coaching hires in the last several decades. So, I mean, that's why, to me, it's almost unfortunate that John Harbaugh is still out there, because that whole situation could end up screwing him.
But you could see it as clear as day, John Harbaugh as the head coach of the Jets. You could see it clear as day.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But, is he going to leave Baltimore? I mean, and if this team goes on a run, and we'll have a clear picture after the weekend, but if this team goes on a run, there's no way that after this change at quarterback and some of the big wins that they had, and you came back and you overtook the AFC North, that they're going to part with him. I mean, is the relationship that fractured?
It's not that the relationship is fractured. Basically, Ozzie Newsome is stepping down. So now they have a new GM coming in who's been there. Now, I don't know about their relationships. And the other thing that we don't know is, what goes on in the building and, the relationship with the owner and the players. Are the players listening still? Is he tired of saying the same message to the same players? They have the Joe Flacco issue hanging over their head. There's a million things that we are not privy to that, push the pressure point, a little bit deeper than normal. And that's why I'm trying to think who it is. Even though there are certain coaches out there, Mike Zimmer, for instance, your coach,
mm-hmm.
he's willing to go into the final year of his contract without an extension. I can't imagine the Wilf family not giving him an extension. I mean, he's been a good coach for the Vikings. I don't care what you say. You guys have been a successful team under his tutelage. Would you not say that?
Yeah, sure, they have.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would think that he will get an extension. But that may not be the case in Baltimore. John Harbaugh may go to the owner and say, look, man, I want to have more control of the 53-man roster. And if I don't get it, then I'm not gonna come back here.
Well, how's that going to work, though, with Mike Maccagnan, though? If Mike Maccagnan's truly the guy
He may be using that to get out of there.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know any of that stuff, and that's why all this stuff, it's fun to talk about because it's speculation, it's big-time personalities. I know he would be the perfect person to take over the New York Jets. He just may not be available, that's all.
Yeah, and that's why I think that I wish we knew for a fact that he wasn't available or he was. You know, and if he wasn't, and Mike McCarthy was at the top of the list for the Jets, and that was the guy they were going to zero in on, then just blow him away financially. That's what you would have to do. That would be the break the tie. That would be the thing that he would say, all right, I'm not going to sit out a year for $7 million because he would get paid $7 million if he doesn't get another job.
Yeah, he comes here, he's going to get paid at least 10.
Yeah, right. So
I'm just telling you right now, it will be a bidding war between the Johnson family and Stephen Ross if that happens.
Oh, so the Dolphins are they're thinking McCarthy as well, and the Jim Harbaugh thing.
I'm thinking Harbaugh. I'm thinking John Harbaugh.
But yes. No, I'm saying if Harbaugh ends up staying in Baltimore and McCarthy's at the top of the list, then I think it would become a bidding war between the Browns and the Jets. And if the Jets are going to break that tie or get ahead of the Browns, it would have to be with money, because there's a prior relationship in Cleveland with McCarthy and Dorsey, and Baker Mayfield's ahead of Sam Darnold right now.
So no, I think if I sitting here today and I had to put on like my future soothsaying glasses,
sure,
right? You know, I kind of feel like, you know, today I feel like McCarthy could be the next head coach of the Jets. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Even though they haven't had the meeting yet or any of that other stuff, because if Josh McDaniels is that so gung ho for the Browns job, I, you know, but it sounds like the Browns want to keep Freddie Kitchens, and if they're going to keep Freddie Kitchens as their offensive coordinator, why would they bring in Josh McDaniels?
Well, why would you bring in Mike McCarthy either? Mike McCarthy's a guy who's
the thing about I'm telling you about Mike McCarthy that I think is the sentiment that I get from the people that, you know, are in this industry that may have spoken to him and all this other stuff, is that he is a guy that is a go-along, get-along guy. He's not a guy that's going to be coming in like a tornado and trying to turn the entire building upside down.
Yeah, but he's also got a lot of pressure on him, too, because the knock on him leaving Green Bay was he wasn't able to get the best out of Aaron Rodgers. Fair or not, that's the label on him, and he's going to say, all right, I'm going to get the best out of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but
and if he doesn't.
Well, that's why maybe it's a better fit with Sam Darnold. You know, because Baker Mayfield is best, explosive personality. I would always say this, you know, I'm not going to sit here and blame Mike McCarthy for Aaron Rodgers' failings. You know, Mike McCarthy really didn't have anything to do with that 53-man roster. I would say the 53-man roster was a bigger problem than anything else.
And sure.
You can look at the guys who are putting that together. And the other thing is that, you know, there has to be some responsibility placed at the feet at Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers has got to also be willing to be coached, willing to be selfless, willing to be a leader, and not be what I believe he's kind of turned into, a little bit of a diva, like a little bit of a pain in the ass. You know, that's what big money and big fame does to people, especially in the world of sports, as we're seeing it all across the landscape of sports. I mean, whether it be Antonio Brown or Aaron Rodgers or anybody else, you know, you want a guy that when he shows up, that he's going to listen to the coach, that he's going to be coachable, that he's going to go out there and he's going to lead by example, as opposed to talking through the media. And you know who's the prime example of that this year anyway is Andrew Luck. And I have direct knowledge of that. Mm-hmm. I know that. I know how unselfish that kid is and how grateful he is to be back on the field and doing what he's doing and how much praise he is heaping everywhere else as opposed to taking it on himself. So that's the kind of player that you want to be coaching. You know, Carson Wentz is that way. I know that as well. You know, that you want these guys that want to be on the field, that want to be coached, that want to be given a roadmap, that are going to listen to you and are going to be respectful to you as a coach. And I think sometimes older players kind of lose that a little bit. I think that's a little bit of what's going on with Brady and Belichick over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I think Belichick, you know, probably has been riding Brady for so long that Brady finally had enough of it.
Yeah, he doesn't give him any credit.
And it kind of came to a head a little bit.
Right, like finally, can you give me some credit after all these years and what we've done together?
Right, and now here they are again, right? And believe you me, they are rooting for the Colts. I'm not the Colts. They are rooting, I'll tell you they're rooting for. They're rooting for the Texans.
Yeah,
they want to play the Texans. They do not want to see the Colts.
All right, Boomer and Geo just getting started on a football Friday.
They don't want to see the Chargers or the Ravens.
Okay.
That's why they want the Texans to win. They'd rather see the Texans, being that the Charger and Raven winner would then go to Kansas City. That's how's that?
That I think I've got it. I think so.
Why Kansas City deal with the Ravens or the Chargers?
Gotcha.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.